Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Ravencast for May 26, 2017. I'm your host, Adam Erickson, and the Ravencast is a part of the Raven Review, an online magazine where we write and talk about mimetic theory, rivalry, violence, and scapegoating that so often divides our communities and divides our world. And today I'm really excited because I have with me my fellow Raven, Lindsay Paris Lopez. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Adam. Hi, everyone.
How's it going today?
Today is a good day.
Awesome. Sweet. Yeah, today is a good day because we're going to be talking about Chelsea Manning. And Chelsea Manning, you will remember, was commuted. Is that the right term? Commuted by Barack Obama.
She was commuted.
Which is different than, what is the other word that they use?
Pardoned.
Different than pardoned. Do you know the difference between being commuted and pardoned?
I believe that being pardoned means you have been cleared of wrongdoing. Being commuted means you have been granted mercy, but the records are still, the records still show that you have done something wrong. She is a free woman now. She has gone through trial and she has served 7 years in prison, and now she is a free woman as of last week. So I've been thinking about this for more than a week, but leading up to her freedom, I've been thinking about how to properly celebrate and honor her, because she is a hero. I believe that she deserves not just a pardon, but a medal. I mean, a pardon gives the impression that what was done was wrong, but she didn't do it. A pardon gives the impression that she did not do wrongdoing that occurred. But Chelsea Manning is a whistleblower who exposed wrongdoing. And some people think that the exposure of the wrongdoing is a wrong in itself, because she did violate classified, she did give classified information to the publication WikiLeaks. I think that that information that she shared did need to be public, and WikiLeaks took care to redact anything that would be so sensitive that it would put soldiers or diplomats in harm's way. So it was found at her trial that there was not damage done from her leaks, except in the sense of the embarrassment to the United States. And it did kind of throw off the U.S. agenda, because, well, I mean, I credit Chelsea Manning with ending the Iraq War. That's how big of a deal it is, because the Iraqi government would not grant immunity to U.S. soldiers who committed war crimes that Chelsea Manning exposed. So that threw off the United States government agenda, but it did not harm anyone. If anything, it saved many lives. And that information, we need to know what she revealed, because we need to know what is being done in our name. And when it is horrible and cruel and illegal and deadly, then we need to do what we can to stop it.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those specific things that she revealed, because I think it's those specific things that is really helpful in the conversation of whether she's a hero or whether she, as many people are claiming, including John McCain, saying that she's a traitor. And it's important, I think, to note that the U.S. government has said that she is not a traitor. And the way that you know that someone is not a traitor in the technical terms, I think, is whether they have aided or abetted the enemy. So the government has said that she did not do that. But let's talk more about the specifics of what she actually did do.
when we consider what Chelsea Manning did, what she suffered for it, and how she responded to the people who imprisoned and tortured her, the only way that I can really think about it is to consider Chelsea Manning to be a modern contemporary Christ figure. And although I don't want to idolize her, I can't conceal the fact that she is a hero of mine. But her actions and her endurance and her way of forgiving those who hurt her can only be, that's the clearest example of a Christ figure that I have ever seen in modern times. And so when I think about what she did and what she went through, I see Jesus, the forgiving victim, in Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, she was apparently tortured while she was in prison, sleep deprivation, all kinds of other things that they were doing to her. And Glenn Greenwald talks about how he was like angry as he was talking with her about these things, but she was just like, responded with so much empathy towards those who were doing these horrible things, making her stand naked, sleep deprivation, all of these humiliating acts that if it was done in another country, we would say, oh my God, that's torture. But since it's done in the United States, we're like, meh, whatever. But she responds not with anger and animosity, but with a form of empathy for the people who are doing these things to her, understanding that they themselves are caught up in this violent system.
Yes, I think let's back up and say what she did, and then we'll get to that, because the way she treated those who tortured her that way is amazing. But what's the whole story put together just makes it more amazing to me. So the first way that Chelsea Manning reminds me of Jesus is that she exposes our violence. Now, when I think of Jesus, I think of the one who came to show us the depths of violence and cruelty and inhumanity in which we were trapped. I mean, the fully human one came to show us where we fell short of our humanity by exposing us to the violence that we excuse and justify and do not recognize as violence when we are the ones who commit it. So Chelsea Manning was, as a member of the army, was exposed to classified information that revealed overwhelming violence, corruption, just absolute brutality. The most famous thing that she leaked that most people saw was the collateral murder video. And that is a video of Reuters journalists being shot from an Apache helicopter. You can hear the soldiers who fire, sounding gleeful at the idea of killing. And I do believe that those soldiers originally thought that the camera equipment was weaponry. I mean, I hope that's what they thought. Otherwise, there was no even explanation, let alone justification for what they did. But they shot journalists who obviously were not fighting, who were carrying camera equipment. And when someone arrived on the scene and saw people lying on the ground, writhing in pain, dying, he tried to help. And this father with children in his van was shot. And I believe they shot into the van at his children. And it was a soldier by the name of Ethan McCord who carried the children to safety. And he testified that the person who leaked the video to expose this is a hero. And at the time we did not know that it was Chelsea Manning, but now it's been pretty much confirmed in her trial that she is the one who leaked this video and hundreds of thousands of other documents to the journalist outlet WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks itself is a matter of controversy now, but I think it's important to emphasize that when they got hold of this information, they redacted the specific names and specific plans that would expose our troops and diplomats and people that we work with to danger. They redacted all of that because that is the job of journalists and publications. So, you know, Chelsea Manning herself didn't know what was and what was not dangerous, but she put it in the hands not of foreign governments. She could have sold this information. She could have made herself rich. I mean, she really could have committed espionage, but that's not what she did. She gave it to journalists who redacted the sensitive information and then published to expose the public to what is being done with our name, you know, with our tax dollars in our name. The Apache collateral murder video was just one thing. She also revealed that there's an official policy to ignore torture in Iran. She also revealed that Egyptian torturers were trained at Quantico, Virginia, which is actually where she was held before she was moved to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. So the facility that held her in her pre-trial confinement, which is illegal, also trained torturers who went back and did things like hang people from cables and whip them across the feet and drill holes into their bodies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just
all the time this is going on, we in the United States are saying we are better than the bad guys because we don't torture people. So we're giving this myth that we don't torture people because our violence is good and their violence is bad. And the whole time that we're being told this lie, it's happening. And the only reason that we know, well, the reason that we know that it happened is because of Chelsea Manning. I, for one, don't want my country to be involved in this kind of torture that's going on. So this is, I think, one of the reasons that I think you are exactly right, that Chelsea Manning is a hero in all of this. She sees the violence that is out of control that's going on. She sees the lies that we are being told by our own government, and she exposes it. And I agree with you. I think that's heroic, especially because she knew probably of the consequences that would happen to her.
Right. There was a risk involved, and the way she got caught was she confessed what she did to someone who said he was both a journalist and a priest. So he said, either way, you can have immunity. You can be a protected source, and it's a confidentiality agreement. So when you confess to a priest, you are not in danger of being prosecuted for your confession. However, I think that when Chelsea Manning made her confession, I don't think she expected to be exposed right away, but she mentions that she does expect for someone to find out eventually. She says in her own words, and I believe these are from the chat logs between her and Adrian Lamo, the man who said that he would hold all of her confessions in confidentiality. She said, "I'm not so much scared of getting caught and facing consequences at this point as I am of being misunderstood." So, you know, she has just revealed corruption and brutality of the most powerful government in the world. And I do not think that she thought she could get away with it forever. So she knew something would happen to her. And she knew that, I mean, I think she did know that she would be misunderstood by some, because obviously she feared it. And it's very hard to go up against a Goliath like the US government and to see the extent of the brutality that we're capable of and not expect some level of retaliation. So that is what she did. She did not go and turn herself in, but when she was captured, she did not resist. And I think she was expecting to be captured at some point.
Can you, just want to end here in a few minutes, but can you reaffirm or make the connection between Chelsea Manning as a Christ figure? Because I think that this is going to be a big step for a lot of people, not just to move from seeing her as a traitor to seeing her as a hero, but then to seeing her as the closest figure that you have seen to a Christ-like figure.
Well, first of all, people are going to watch this and some are going to say that it's outrageous to compare Chelsea Manning to Jesus. I'm not saying that she is Jesus, but what I am saying is that in the baptismal covenant, in my tradition, the Episcopal tradition, we are taught to seek and serve Christ in all persons. And I find that pretty easy to do in Chelsea Manning, because when I think of Jesus, I don't just think of an almighty God who lived a perfect life and then died, you know, to appease a wrathful deity. What I think of when I think of Jesus is the victim who exposes us to our own victimization and the one who points out our own violence to us. And of course, that's exactly what Chelsea Manning did. And it's very difficult for us to accept the idea that we can be cruel, that we can be brutal, that our violence can be completely unjustified. Chelsea Manning herself went into the military because she thought there was a justification for violence. And honestly, I think she does still think that. I think she still thinks that there may be a good reason for violence. But now she herself has seen arbitrary violence. She's seen violence without reason, violence for the sake of cruelty. And she herself has experienced it. And after everything she went through, she has not lost her faith in humanity. She could see the humanity in the people who tried her and convicted her and sentenced her to 35 years of prison. She could see the humanity of those who forced her to stand naked for hours. She could see the humanity of those who punished her with solitary confinement or things like having an expired tube of toothpaste. And this is after years of pretrial solitary confinement. She could empathize with them and do her best to understand them and not hold anger against them. One of her quotes that she says is when she handed over the documents to WikiLeaks and then confessed it in the online chats, she said, "God knows what happens now. Hopefully worldwide discussions, debates, and reforms. If not, then we're doomed as a species. I will officially give up on the society we have if nothing happens." And what happened to her may seem like worse than nothing, because she was punished for what she revealed. But I think that within her punishment, suffering what she saw others suffer, which she blew the whistle on, in her suffering, she grew more loving. And that's amazing to me. I don't think she gave up on society despite everything that she went through. I think that she retains her faith in humanity's ability to transform from violence to love. So, I mean, this is what Jesus means to me, and this is what I see in Chelsea Manning. I think the important thing is to honor her, not just in words, but to know what she revealed and talk about it and tell our government that that's not okay. But more importantly, or just as importantly, to continue to see the humanity in the government that does all these inhumane things. I mean, she not only exposes our violence, she experiences and forgives it. And if she can do that, then there is hope for anyone who has experienced violence to forgive. And that is the only way I think we'll move forward. And I truly, truly hope someday that the hearts of those who tortured her break open to see what she is trying to show them. We don't want to see our violence. We don't want to see our inhumanity. And we will do what we can to bury it and to fight against the image of ourselves that we don't want to see. And the more we fight against it, the more we become the evil that we don't want to be. And I just hope that someday we can see what we're doing and stop. And I think the only way we can see what we're doing and stop when we're caught up in it so deeply is to be forgiven. And that's Chelsea Manning offers that forgiveness, and so does Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. The connection, you make the connection very clear. And it's a great way to see Chelsea, not as a traitor, but as somebody who's moving us in a direction of something that I want my country to be. I don't want us to be torturers. I don't want us to be violent. but if we can start with let's not torture people and live up to the ideals that we set before ourselves. And when we don't, we have people who honestly call us out for it. I appreciate that, and risk health and security to do that. I think that is a heroic thing. So Lindsay, thank you so much for walking us through this topic, this life of Chelsea Manning. She's 29 years old and has a whole life to live in front of her. We haven't even talked about transgender topic and all of this, and how she's taken some backlash for that as well in this. So there's a lot more to talk about.
I want to say about that is just that there is a connection between her not only being transgender, but coming out in prison when it seemed like the world was against her, and in a military prison that the military has not been known for its tolerance of homosexuality, let alone transgender. But there's a connection between that and her whistleblowing, and that is that she wants to live a life of complete integrity. And I believe that that's another connection between her and Jesus. And, you know, she was in prison, but the truth that set so many people free, I believe, set her free in a way as well, which is not to say that her suffering ended when she embraced her identity as a woman. It did not. In fact, she had been suicidal in prison. I just hope that now that she's free, she can experience the love, the unconditional love that she has shown all of humanity. That's my biggest wish for her.
Good. Well, I wish for that too. It's a beautiful way to put it. And thanks again, Lindsay, for guiding us in this conversation. Everybody else, thanks for listening and watching. Stay up to date on the Ravencast by joining the Ravencast group page on Facebook. You can also like the Raven Foundation Facebook page. If you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and like this video and share it with anyone that you would think is interested. If you're listening in on iTunes or Stitcher, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. One more thing, go on over to the Raven Review at ravenfoundation.org and subscribe. That way you will make sure to keep up to date on our articles and interviews like this one. So until next time, Grace and peace be with you, my friends. Bye-bye.
Bye.